Okay, we're on page 96. Last time we learned about tefillin and mezuzah. Okay, so on Pasuk Chaf Aleph on page 996, the middle of the page. Okay, basically in volume Shemoyah says, if you listen to the mitzvahs, it'll be good. You don't listen, you'll be punished. And then Hashem's telling him time for a sign on your hand, a sign between your eyes. I think we even showed the pair of tefillin. And the Torah says you have to write it on the door, on the doorpost of a mezuzah. We discussed about mezuzah. And then it says like this. L'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem. In order that you shall live long, prolong your days, v'yimei v'neichem, and the days of your children, alo adama shenishba Hashem laviseichem, on the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers, lo seis lahem, to give them, like the days of heaven over earth, meaning basically forever. Okay? Now, Rashi says, the Torah says the word Laseis Lohem. The Torah should have said Laseis Lohem, the land that he's giving you. Laseis Lohem means he's giving it to the forefathers. That's what the pasuk means. He says, you should live long, your children should live long, on the land that God swore to your forefathers to give them. He's not giving it to them. He's giving it to you. So it should have said, L'seis lochem. Right? That's the grammatical correction. So Rashi says from the Medrash that from here we learn that there's Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah. This is one of the few places that the Torah alludes to the resurrection of the dead. There is in this week's, thank you, in this week's Parsha, it says, Oz Yashir Moshe, right? It should have said, Oz Shor Moshe, past tense. Then Moshe sang. Instead it says, Yashir, he will sing. So from there the Gemara learns out also, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get up and sing. When is Moshe Rabbeinu going to get up and sing? By the resurrection of the dead. The same thing Rashi says over here, Mikan Metzino, it should have said Laseis Lachem. From here we learn Tchias HaMeisim in HaTeiro. Okay, this is the Medrash says from here you learn out, there'll be the resurrection of the dead. This point answers a very interesting question. The Gemara tells a story that the famous Rabbi Yechanan was told by people that, you know, there are people in Bavel, in Babylonia, that are living long. That live long. So he was shocked. Because the pasuk over here says, where will you live long? On the land God will give to your forefathers, meaning Eretz Yisrael. So he says, I'm shocked that there are people living in Bavel for very long, very old. Because it says in the Torah, Alo Adama, you're going to live on the land that God gave you. So they told him that the people in Bavel, they get up early to shul, and they learn a lot in shul, and they stay late in shul. There's a lot of Torah. So therefore, they're going to live long. Okay, that's what the... So the commentaries ask, it still doesn't answer the question. It still doesn't answer the question. Because the Torah does say, on the land that your forefathers are given, not Eretz Yisrael. And not Bavel. So how can they live long in Bavel? So the Kli Yoker explains... 996. The Kli Yoker explains... And he says like this. The Gemara says that all the shuls in Galus are going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. When Mashiach comes, all the shuls, the yeshivas, everything is going back to Israel. So he says like this. Because the people were in the shuls, so that's like Israel. That's like Israel. So therefore, when they're living long, because they go to shul, it's like living long in Israel. But the Kli Yoker adds to this, because what land are we talking about? Asher nishba Hashem laseis lohem, about the resurrection. When are the shuls going to go back to Eretz Yisrael? During the resurrection. When Mashiach comes. So therefore he says like this, this is what the pasuk means. You're going to live long on the land of Israel. When? In the time when Mashiach comes, laseis lohem, to give them, meaning all the times when Mashiach will come. So that's why he says they can live long in Bavel, even though it's not the land of Israel, because they stay in the shuls and yeshivas and they learn longer. So therefore, it's like they lived in Eretz Yisrael.
Don't we have it in several places that Hashem tells our avos that I'm giving you this land and your children, you and your children, in many places, like Abraham?
Yeah, but if you look at the beginning of the pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jews. He's telling them, put on tefillin, learn Torah, right? That you should live long. So it should say, on the land God's giving you. God swore to the forefathers that he's going to give it to their children. God never said, I'm going to give you the land. God never said, I'm going to give Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov the land. Hashem said to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I'm going to give the land to your children. And here the pasuk says that God gave that he swore Lasseistam to give to them. That's the difference. But based on this, the whole pasuk now makes sense, because he's speaking about not only the physical Eretz Yisrael, all those places that are going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach come, like the shuls and the yeshivas and all that's going to move to Israel. And therefore, they're going to live long on that land.
What does that mean, all the shuls? All the members of the shuls, the ones who pay a lot of money and all that? Which ones?
The buildings are going to go.
The buildings.
The Jews are also going to go. Everybody's going. Everybody will get up at Chias HaMeisim. Everybody will be there.
What age they be there? The age that they died or the age? That's interesting.
It says that by Chias HaMeisim, it doesn't speak about ages. It says that if a person was sick when they died, they're going to get up sick and instantly be cured. In other words, the way you died, that's the way you're going to get up. But then immediately, if you were sick, whatever, you're going to be cured.
If you're old, you get young?
That's something, it doesn't say about ages. It just says if you're sick, you're going to be cured. Now, let's say a father passed away at 50, yeah, and his son passed away at 70. So,
yeah,
then the son's going to...
Younger than this, that's...
Could be. They tell a story, I mentioned this story in the past. There's a story in the time of the Baal Shem Tov. There was a guy walks into a house, and he sees a man with a long white beard getting beat by a young guy. Well, the face were like, this young guy is beating this old guy, and he say, you lazy bum, go clean and do what you have to do. He's hitting him. So the guy thought it's the son hitting the father. So the son, the rabbi turns to the guy and says, why are you hitting your father? He said, what are you, crazy? I'm the father, he's my son. The young guy was the father and the old guy was the son. So he says, huh? Like, doesn't make sense. So he said that the Baal Shem Tov was once in a city and he stayed in an inn. Today would be called a hotel. And he was cleaning the room. And he noticed the Baal Shem Tov slippers were on the floor. And he had to clean the floor. So he was thinking to himself, should he pick up the slippers and clean under it? Or because the Baal Shem Tov put the slippers down, he doesn't want to touch it, and he cleaned around it. And he made up his mind, he's not going to move the slippers. He's going to clean around it. Baal Shem Tov came into the room, and he asked the guy if he moved the slippers. So he said, no, I didn't move them. Because you put them there, I didn't want to move them. So Baal Shem Tov gave him a bracha, he should live long like he is now. In other words, he just didn't age. So this was a young guy with a young beard, and the other guy was his son who aged, and he was telling his son, don't be lazy, go work. So that's in Chias HaMeisim, you're going to have children that are going to be looking older than, looking older than the parents. You know what? If God can do that, he can figure that one out too, how to figure it out.
No, the time.
Okay, that's the... living long. Okay. Okay, there's a few other answers. Number one, it says if you daven, it's like bringing a sacrifice. So therefore, it's like you're in Israel, whatever it is. So all these things, it's like considered that you're in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can live long outside of Israel too. As the famous story, there was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek who wanted to move to Israel. They were called Make Aliyah, but then there was no Aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the Tzemach Tzedek told him, that's not your place, you have to be here. So he said, but I want to go to Israel, I want to go to Israel. So Tzemach Tzedek said to him, make Israel here.
Yeah.
Make here Israel. So therefore, this concept, you know, of living long in Eretz Yisrael, a person can make Israel wherever he lives. You know, it's a very interesting, at the end of Ksubas, the Gemara speaks all about Eretz Yisrael. The question if it applies to today's Israel, or only in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But it's very interesting. Gemara says, whoever lives outside of Israel has no God. Whoever goes out from Israel to outside of Israel is terrible sinning and all that stuff. But there's a Me'idi, who was one of the codifiers, the Rishonim, in his commentary in Ksubas, he writes that all what the Gemara is saying about not moving out of Eretz Yisrael and not leaving Eretz Yisrael, he said, in the time of the Gemara, where people lived in Bavel, and that was the center of Torah, he said, if you moved out of Bavel, it was the same thing that the Gemara said about moving out of Israel. In other words, Eretz Yisrael basically means a holy place. Making it holy is the Kedusha. And therefore, the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, you live long, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, but it depends what you make of Eretz Yisrael.
So
okay.
That's what you mean, Rabbi, to bring Israel here is to make...
To make it holy.
Holy.
Yeah. What's special... I'm not talking political now. What's special about the land of Israel over Uganda or America or France? What's... It's the holiness.
Yes.
It's not the physical, you know, because then Moshe Rabbeinu made a wrong turn. If he made the turn, we get all the oil. He never got all the desert. Okay, so what's unique about Eretz Yisrael? It's not the geography of it. It's the holiness of it, right? That's the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, is that it's holy. So in a certain respect, any place that a Jew makes holy, in that respect, is Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's...
How you make it holy?
Adam, how about
shiurs,
learning, davening, mitzvahs, raising kids properly, you know, all the Jewish life.
Adam, how about the main center of the Adam Abba was Israel?
Main center of Olam Abba?
No, Adam...
Adam and Chavu created Eretz Yisrael.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Pasuk Shvi, Pasuk Chavis. Now he says like this: Kim Shamer Tishmeru Nes Kol HaMitzvah Zeis. If you keep all this mitzvah, Asher Anechi Mitzaveh Eschem, that I'm commanding you. And Rashi explains what's this double expression: Shamer Tishmeru. You know, in English, apparently you will observe, but in Hebrew, it's the double expression: Shamer Tishmeru. So Rashi says there's a lot of mitzvahs about learning Torah, number one, that you should never forget your learning. You should never forget your learning. And it makes sure, because I gave you a lot of things to go. And he says like this, La'aseisa to do them, Le'avas Hashem alakechem, to love God, because that's the source of positive mitzvahs, is because you love Hashem and you want to attach yourself to Hashem. La'alechas b'chol derochav, to go in all His ways, u'ledavka be'it, to cling to Hashem. Now, what does it mean to go in all? The Pasuk says two things. You have to love God, and it says like this, you have to follow His ways, and you have to cling to Him. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean following in His ways? So it says, God is merciful, you should be merciful. God visits the sick, God does kindness, you should do kindness. Okay. In fact, the Gemara says, the beginning of Torah, and the ending of Torah, Chumash, is all about God doing kindness. He gave Adam and Chava clothing to wear after the sin, even though they sinned. He gave them clothing to wear. At the end of the Torah, Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, the mitzvah of burial, which is again the real gemilas chesed, the real kindness that you do even with the dead people. You don't expect anything in return. You know, what's in it for me doesn't exist. So these are the things that Hashem says. In fact, the Gemara elaborates. Hashem visited Avram Avinu when he was sick. Hashem said, you have to go visit the sick. After Avram Avinu died, Hashem came to Yitzchak to pay a shiva call, like they call it today, a condolence call. So you have to pay condolence calls. The Torah enumerates many things that Hashem, that God buried the dead. You buried the dead. So v'alachta bedrocha means to follow in God's footsteps. What do you mean, God, follow God's footsteps? You can't be God. Yeah. But God does kindness, you do kindness. God visits the sick, you visit the sick. Things like that. But then he says another interesting thing. Uladafka bai, to cling to Hashem.
What?
So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the famous Gemara, how can you cling to Hashem when the Pasuk says about God that Eish Eichlo is a burning fire? You can hold on to fire. I mean, like, how are you going to hold on to God? So he says a remarkable thing, the Gemara, but Rashi quotes it from the Gemara. And he says, it's in Sifri, but it's also in the Gemara's Seita. He says, he davik betamidei chachamim, cling to scholars. And it says, umayla ani olech, if you cling to scholars, Hashem said, I will consider it as if you cling to me. This is what Hashem says. Hashem says, you cling to scholars, I will consider it as if you cling to me. Now what does this mean? There's a number of different interpretations over here, by the way. Number one, there's another explanation. The Ramban says another explanation here. The Ramban explains, and this is different between the Rashi quotes and the Medrash, but the Ramban explains, what do you mean clinging to Hashem? Like he said, God's not tangible, it's not physical, that you can cling to him. So the Ramban says, you should never remove your mind from thinking about God. And he says, you should remember God, and that's what it says before, b'shach b'chov k'mecha, if when you travel, lech t'chov ha'derech, if your whole life you're thinking about God, that's the way you cling to God. That's the way the Ramban says. Okay? He says, you should speak nicely, pretend, shivisa Hashem l'negdi sami, that God is always opposite me, and therefore you behave accordingly, that, you know, God is always there. That is the Ramban's way of explaining, in simple meaning, uladav kabay, to cling to Hashem. The Medrash says, and the Gemara says, and it's elaborated in many places, it means clinging to scholars. What does it mean, clinging to scholars? I'm talking about true Torah
true,
scholars.
Yeah,
true
true
Torah scholars, yeah.
Simple.
In fact, there's an interesting, there's a pasuk, I forgot what the pasuk is, about Malach Tzvokis, whatever. The Gemara says, if your Rebbe is Doma Le Malach Tzvokis, if your Rebbe is like a Malach, that means a holy man, learn from him. If he's not a holy man, don't learn from him. Okay, so we're talking about Tamidei Chachamim is not scholars that are brilliant in learning, but not righteous. Because we learned that there's a famous medrash that says in Keheles that Chachma Yesh Bagoyim Ta'amin. If somebody will tell you there's wisdom by the non-Jews, believe them. Torah Yesh Bagoyim Al Ta'amin. That's what the Medrash says. But somebody tells you this Torah by a non-Jew, don't believe him. What's the difference? Because L'chor Torah is also He Chachmaschem Alvinaschem. Torah itself says it's the brilliance, God's wisdom. What could be better? In fact, in Svarim it says, everything comes from Hashem, right? That's a given. So every wisdom in the world is also coming from Hashem. So where do wisdoms come from? From Hashem's wisdom. What is Hashem's wisdom? Hashem's wisdom is Torah. So not only is Torah a brilliant book, but Torah is the source of all other wisdoms, because this is God's wisdom, and everything comes from Hashem. So obviously all the wisdoms comes, science, math, whatever it is, they're all concentrated. So what is the difference between Chochmah, that Goyim have Chochmah, they don't have Torah? Chochmah means wisdom. It has nothing to do with your behavior. You could pre, like we said many times, Aristotle was once caught doing an immoral act. And his student said to him, you are Aristotle, you're the preacher of morals and ethics, how could you do? He said, now I'm not Aristotle. In other words, my wisdom, or how many doctors, yeah, that can give you a whole speech about health, yeah, and they will do everything unhealthy. They will do everything unhealthy. The cheder doesn't make sense. They're the preachers. They can know better than anybody else what health is all about. And yes, they don't do it. Why not? Because wisdom does not necessarily affect my way of life. How many times do you have, or even in the secular system, you have a lot of times, the judges are corrupt. And these, I mean, l'cheira, it doesn't make sense. Think about it. They're making the morals and the issues and the ethics. They're the ones that preach it. How could they be caught doing immoral act? So that's the difference between chachma and teira. Chachma is nothing to do with behavior. Chachma is wisdom. You could be brilliant in science, or you could be brilliant in medicine, and it doesn't mean you're going to live a healthy life.
You can be brilliant in Torah too, that doesn't mean...
One minute. But this is what the Medrash says. Torah yesh b'goyim al tamin. Because it means like this. The Rambam writes, a chacham, which means a proper Torah chacham, yeah, is nikker, you can recognize him, b'chilasei, b'shtiyasei, tiyulei, a Torah scholar, you can notice them, the way they eat, the way they walk, the way they sleep, the way they talk. Their whole life is influenced by Torah. In other words, Torah, by definition, the word Torah, the Zohar says, we said many times, Horah, guidance. Guidance in life, that's what the word, the Zohar says, Torah means Horah, right. Guidance. It's the constitution of life. Torah is not a wisdom. Torah is a way of life. A person can know, to use English expressions, a guy can know an unbelievable amount of Talmud. Yeah? But he's not learning Torah. He's learning Talmud. Because Torah has to influence his life. The Gemara says in Kedushin, if somebody learns Torah with the intent of not keeping what he's learning, he should have never been created. No, not more. He should have never been created. That's what the Gemara says. It would have been better if he wouldn't been born.
But the Torah is not supposed to help you to behave. Besides your animal nature, you're supposed to...
Torah life is a person that lives according to the rules and regulations of Torah.
He's born like this, so he gets it from the Torah?
No. You have to work on yourself. Adam ayir peri yevoli. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, a person is born a wild animal. Okay. Torah is what refines you. But if you learn Torah and you don't become refined, so you didn't learn Torah. You maybe learned a wisdom called Bible, Talmud, Kabbalah, whatever you want to call it. But you know what? You didn't learn Torah. Because, and this is what it means. So, when a person is a real Talmud Chacham, meaning he's living a life of Torah. His morals, his ethics, his behavior, everything in Torah life. By clinging to such a person, it's like you're clinging to God. Because that person, so to speak, is like God's representative on earth. Every Talmud Chacham who lives, not only knows, who lives a Torah lifestyle, is, so to speak, representing God in the world. You know, the Gemara says, there's a halacha, a Talmud Chacham that has revav al bigdai. Revav literally is a grease stain. But it means any dirt, chayev mita, is deserving capital punishment. Why? Well, I have a dirt, so I got dirty. So the cholent got on me. So what? So therefore, I'm a person of Talmud Chacham should be chayev misa. The answer is, you, the Talmud Chacham, is representing God, and therefore you have to be perfect. You know, you have to be clean, you have to be neat, you have to be holy, you have to behave properly. So the Gemara says, in order to cling to Hashem, you need to cling to Talmidei Chacham. Because practically speaking, God's not tangible. So the Ramban says, yeah, clinging to God means you're always thinking about Hashem. So if you're always thinking about Hashem, your mind is connected to Hashem. But the Medrash and the Gemara says, no, it's also in a different way. By clinging to Talmidei Chachamim, but again, Talmidei Chachamim is not a person who is a scholar. You know, it's interesting. You know why a scholar in Torah is called Talmud Chacham? Yeah? Why isn't he called Chacham? Talmud Chacham literally means a student of a Chacham. But if he's a scholar, why are you calling him Talmud Chacham? He should be called a Chacham. So the answer is, because this shows his personality. He's always willing to be a student to learn from somebody else. And that's why he's called a Talmud Chacham, the student of a Chacham, because he doesn't feel that he's perfect. He always knows that there's room for improvement. And therefore he's called the student of a Chacham, because he's willing to learn. And a person who clings to such a person, Hashem says, then you're clinging to me. Why? Because it shows what's important to you. What is important to you? A person who behaves properly. So Hashem said, that's a person that's clinging to me. And that's why it says, Ladaf Kabay, to cling to Hashem. Okay, so if you do that, the pasuk continues, says like this. V'heirish Hashem es kol ha-goyim ha-elim milifneichem. Hashem will drive out all these nations from before you. V'irishtem goyim, and he will drive out nations. G'dolim v'atzumim mikem. More and stronger than you. Greater and mightier than you. And again, Rashi says in the Medrash, interesting thing. You're strong, but they're even stronger than you. Why? So Rashi says, because if the Jews are not strong, it's like, you know, you say, there's a little ant, yeah, that's very weak. So you say, oh, they're even stronger than the ant. What type of praise is that? If Hashem is saying, I'm driving away stronger goyim than you are, it would only be a compliment if the Jews are strong, and the goyim are even stronger, so you can imagine how strong they are, and yet Hashem is driving them away. And this is again the love that Hashem has to the Jewish people. Kol ha-mokem, any place. Asher tidrech kafrag lechem, where the sole of your feet will tread in the land of Eretz Yisrael, lochem yihi, it will be yours. Min ha-midbar v'alvonen, from the desert, from the Lebanon, Nahar Pros, from the Euphrates, ad yom ha-achon, until the Western Sea, Yagvuchem. Basically, this is in one pasuk, all the boundaries. In Parshas Masi, the Torah says exactly what the boundaries are. But here the Torah is saying, any place a Jew will step is his. Okay? In a deeper sense, the pasuk is telling us something else. The Torah is saying, we mentioned this last Shabbos, in fact, every place that you go, the Torah says, should be yours. What does the Torah say over here? Bolachem yihia. What does it mean? It simply means in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere you're going to be stopping is going to belong to. But it means deeper. It means wherever a Jew steps, they have to make it theirs. What does it mean they have to make it theirs? We spoke about this last week, Shabbos morning, but most of you guys were not here. It means Hashem, the footsteps of man, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hashem mitzadi geva kinonu. From God, the footsteps of man are planned. Okay? Any place where a Jew walks, any place, any possession that a Jew owns, Hashem gave it to them to utilize it for the mission that God gave you to do it. In other words, any possession I own, why did God give it to me? Because that is my possession that I need to make godly. Why did God give it to me? Well, like the Gemara says, it speaks about, you know, people trying to steal from somebody else. The Gemara says, you should know, whatever is supposed to be yours is yours. What's not supposed to be yours will never become yours.
What you don't want, you can throw away.
What you don't want, you can't get anyway.
What you don't want, you can
If God wants to give it.
What does this mean? It means more than that. This, believe it or not, this cup of soda that I'm drinking now, or that thing of whatever that is, mashke, I'm sure.
Vodka.
Vodka. That you're drinking. This particular, it's mind-boggling, okay? There could be 50 bottles of soda, yeah? There's nothing coincidental. This is a phenomenal concept, by the way. There's no such thing as coincidental. The fact that this cup of soda ended up in my cup that I'm drinking, that I made a bracha on, and I'm supposed to be drinking for the right purposes, was destined to be mine from the beginning of creation. In other words, let's say there's 1 million bottles of soda in the world. Yeah? The fact that this particular bottle ended up in this particular building, and from this particular bottle and this particular part of the bottle is poured into my cup that I'm drinking, means that this, from the beginning of creation, was destined that this 6 ounces of soda I need to elevate. Not you, not you, not you, me. That water, whatever it is, from the beginning, that it could have been different water. The fact that you took that water in that particular time and from that particular place, not this water is yours and only yours to deal with. Nobody else. That's in other words, I sometimes stop to think. You take some coffee, yeah? 1 second. You have a jar of coffee, yeah? Instant coffee. You take a spoonful and you put it into your cup. The fact that that particular spoonful of coffee ended up in my cup, not in your cup, because we could be taking one right after another, yeah? You take your cup, I take my cup. You take your spoonful, I take my spoonful. The fact that this spoon ended up by me, I think it's because I went first, so I took first, and you go after me, so you took after me. No. This particular coffee, or Splenda, or sugar, or cereal, anything it is. This is what Torah teaches us. That particular thing ended up in your cup, in your plate, because that is yours. Okay? This pen, there's 1 million such pens in the world. This particular pen ended up in my particular pocket because this is the pen I need to elevate. You go somewhere. We discussed it in the past. The fact that we all live here, not in New York where there's 3 feet of snow, the fact that we live here is because our mission in life is here, not in New York. If we'd be in New York, then we'd be living there. Not only that, you're driving, and by mistake, there's a detour. There's a detour, not by mistake, there's a detour. Or you make a wrong turn. You got lost. You went a few blocks out of the way. There is no such thing as coincidental. Hashem, and says it in the Baal Shem Tov, from the beginning of creation, made that on this particular time, at this particular moment, you made a wrong turn to go those 3 blocks out of the way, because you had to elevate that particular trip, whatever, that particular street, and nobody else has the job that you have at that particular moment. Why? Because if you, it wouldn't be your job, why in the world would God put you there? What?
But how does that work with Bechira?
It works with Bechira. We only have Bechira in Torah Mitzvahs. I don't have choice which soda ended up in my bottle, in my cup. I don't have free choice to that. The only free choice I have, okay, which itself is difficult to understand, whether I'm going to speak Torah or speak Lashon Hara, whether I'm going to do a mitzvah with my hand or do a sin with my hand. Yeah, but I'm saying,
if you're going to do wacha, the wacha is your
that I have free choice to make a bracha on the soda or not. But this soda that ended up in my cup is not my free choice.
So if
it's not.
So everything that is created is only for me, or for you, or for each person. The guy who would make the cup, he was created to make the cup. The guy, you can go.
This is what it says. That's what I'm saying. This is a deeper meaning of lochem yiye. It's yours.
But it's no end. You can.
No, whatever yours, whatever you get, Hashem said, that's yours to work on.
And the guy who makes the cup, it was created for me to make the cup, so, and the guy who put the machine on it, it's...
Yes, the guy made a million cups.
Yeah.
Why, from all the millions of cups, did I get this particular cup?
Because it's yours.
Not that cup, or whatever. Why did I get this cup?
Because there's something to do with it.
Because this is the cup that I have the choice to elevate or not to elevate. But that the cup ended up in my hand?
You automatically elevate it. It's not its power. You automatically elevate this
if
cup.
If I make a brach on the soda in the cup, I have elevated the soda and the cup and myself.
So this is your hand. It's not your cup.
This is my cup.
No, this is you. You do it. The cup
Hashem gave me this cup
one?
Now.
Okay. So
Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Who didn't elevate? You do. You do better.
Yeah, but who gave me the cup to elevate or not?
We want the cup. You're going to do it. You need the cup to do it.
This is not supposed to
so
be
the
elevated.
Cup?
Yeah, you're
it's not supposed to get elevated.
No, Hashem
if
wants
you adapt at your hand.
No.
You doing the elevation.
Hashem gave me this cup because it's my job to elevate this cup, not yours.
So the mitzvah
unless
is
you want to use the same cup as mine, unless you want to use the same cup, that means it's mine and yours to elevate. No, I mean certain things are, joint.
You do it.
Yeah.
Hashem didn't tell you to do it. You do it.
Hashem told me to make a bracha.
Creation of the...
Hashem told me to make a bracha, no?
From creation?
No, from Matan Torah. He told me to make a bracha.
No.
What do you mean?
You see, this cup from creation is...
God showed that this cup is going to come to me.
Also,
now, what do I do with the cup? That's free choice. I can use it for evil.
Yeah,
I can fill it up with poison.
Yeah, yeah.
God forbid, throw it into somebody's eyes.
Yeah,
okay? Or I can use it for something holy, making a brach on it.
That's
mine. But the cup, whether this cup is mine, is not free choice. The cup, the bottle that I picked from the fridge to pour this, and it's interesting. First, I took another bottle, but I saw there was a bottle that was less full, so I said, let me finish the other one first, right? So, I thought I chose it because, it's full, empty. No, that's not the reason. That's what I think. The reason why I took this soda is because this particular soda now is the soda that I need to elevate. And this was Hashem gave it, L'seith L'chem. The God, any place where you step, Hashem says, I'm giving it to you.
Hashem knows that you elevate this one?
Yeah, Hashem knows.
And from creation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so there's no free choice now.
But
there's
by
no
Hashem...
Choice.
Okay, that's it. But it's by Hashem, it's after the fact already. Hashem, it's the future, past, present, future. The Rebbe Rashab, the previous Rebbe's father, had to go for walks for his health. And he used to take his son with him. They were talking, Torah, whatever. So they're once walking in a field, and it came time to daven mincha. And they had to daven mincha. So the din is, you're not allowed to daven in an open field. So you can't daven open because you become distracted. So they need a secluded place. So there was a cave in the field. There was a cave in the field, which was a closed area, and they went there to daven. After davening, the Rebbe Rashab turned to his son and he said, I want you to know, in this cave, 5,007, whatever the amount of years is, 5,600, whatever it was then. He said, when Hashem made the world 5,600 something years ago, Hashem knew that 5,600 X amount of years from now, two Jews are going to need a place to daven, and that's why he created that cave. And it's their mission to elevate that cave by davening there.
Hashem is timeless. Okay?
Correct.
Timeless. means now is 2,000 minutes, not for Hashem. You're right.
Hashem, what happened, happened, did happen, will happen, this happened, it's all the same.
Not means 6,000 years ago. Minute for him is, he can,
no.
So there's no reason to make it that time. He can do it right now.
He's continuously creating the world. But this is all part of Hashem's master plan of creation from the beginning of creation to the end of time.
You cannot drink time for Hashem.
The fact that we talk 10 minutes about this already is planned already, but we don't take 10 minutes on this.
But this cup was used to explain something in Torah also.
Yeah. So it's not only the drinking in a cup. It's the fact that the cup was used to explain an aspect of Torah elevated the cup too. But what I'm saying is one simple thing. The fact that I got this cup out of millions of the same cups in the world, is destined from Hashem, because this is my cup that I need to elevate. The cup you drink from is not my job. The money you have is not my job to elevate. My money that I have is my job to elevate. And that's why every action a person does is a very important action. It's affecting the whole world.
So the time for the Hashem is timeless. You cannot say 5,000 years ago.
Yes, because Hashem did create time.
Hashem for Hashem, himself, not
no. Hashem is above time. For us, he created time.
So for us is important time. For the Hashem is not important times.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Can you eat matzah today and get a mitzvah?
For us, you're right. For Hashem, yeah, you're right. Okay. For Hashem is different.
Is it a mitzvah from Hashem to eat matzah and Pesach?
For Hashem, no.
Is it a mitzvah from Hashem?
For us, yeah.
Okay. So does Hashem want us to eat matzah on Pesach?
Yes.
By him, is there Pesach?
Anytime you make it Pesach for him. The timeless for him. Hashem doesn't have 12 months, year. He doesn't have anything.
Okay. That is on the first page of Shulchan Aruch, by the way, what you just said. Okay. It says, it speaks about Tikkun Chatzos, you get up at midnight and mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. Or Shabbos and Yom Tov, Now, on Shabbos, there's more Kedusha than on the rest of the week? Yes or no?
Yes.
On Chag, there's a greater revelation of Kedusha in the world?
Yes.
No. Do you know when it's Shabbos here, in Australia it's already Sunday?
Right.
When it's Friday morning by us, in Israel it's already Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay. So when is the Kedusha of Hashem coming down?
It depends location.
Ah. What does it mean, it depends location? Because Hashem himself is above time.
Time, yes.
But when that time makes it Shabbos, that's when the Kedusha comes down into that place. But there is a concept of time by Hashem, because he gave us mitzvahs in time. It's relevant for us, not for him, but there is a concept. Yeah. Okay, let's go further. It's a fundamental point. Okay, Pasuk Chafei. Last Pasuk. Hashem says like this: when I'm going to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, Yisyatziv ish b'fneichem, no man will stand up against you. Pachtechem u'meirachem, your terror and your fear. Yiten Hashem alakeichem al preichol aret asher tirduchu ba, wherever you're going to go. By the way, in Hebrew, it's interesting. What's the difference between pachad and yira? Fear. I mean, pachad is fright. And yira is fear. The Gemara says, pachad is sudden fear. Morachem is meditated fear. Sometimes like you're walking down the street, all of a sudden big joke jumps at you. That's pachad. Yira is when you premeditate. I'm afraid to do something, but you think about it. It's more in the distance. That's the difference in Torah between pachad and yira. Is that modern Hebrew also like that? Yeah?
Pachad is sudden. Suddenly.
Sudden fear. So the Torah says, by the Goyim, it's going to be both. Pachad umarachem. It's not a double expression. It's two types of actual fear. Hashem will give on the land, asher tiruchu bo, where you step, kasher dibra lochem, that he spoke to you. So basically Hashem is saying that nobody is going to stand in the way. Once Hashem gives you the land, everything is going to be out of the way and you're going to be fine. Okay, finish the parsha. Next, the A.
Rabbi, how about the other way around? Do you need the wisdom to have a better behavior?
The wisdom is to tell us how to behave. Without wisdom, you don't know how to behave.
So you still need the wisdom.
Yeah, but only if the intent of the wisdom is to bring it down into behavior. If a person will learn all about not stealing, okay, and they'll go steal. So what was the value of the wisdom?
Nothing.
Not only is nothing, it's negative. Because now you know it's wrong to steal and you're stealing. That's even worse. Right? So, in fact, the evil of Amalek, why Amalek is the worst of all nations, you have to destroy them and erase them and all that, is because the Medrash says about Amalek, Yodea es ribono, it understood God and intended to rebel against him. That's worse. The seven nations of Canaan represent the seven emotional levels, not the intellect. Love of evil, fear of evil, all that. The seven nations of Canaan were not intellectuals. They were emotional seven nations, the seven midot. But Amalek's unique evil was he had seichel, he understood the greatness of God and rebelled against him. That's much worse. A person that sins out of ignorance is not as bad as a person who knows and rebels. It's much worse. So the Torah knowledge that we learn is for one reason only, to affect our behavior. Because if Torah learning doesn't affect our behavior, it is not Torah learning. You can call it Talmud, you can call it Gemara, you can call it Mishnah, you can call it Navi, you can call it whatever you want. It's not Torah. Torah is when it affects the person's behavior. It becomes the constitution of life. You live based on the Torah, then it's a proper learning. In other words, we said before, the Gemara says you should have never been born. Okay, next parasha. Rei anechi neitzen lefneichem ayeim bracho klola. Okay? This pasuk is very interesting. See, okay, I am giving you today bracha and klola, blessing and curse.
I don't give you. I give you in front of you.
No, neitzen lefneichem.
Lefneichem in front of
you. I'm giving you though. Bracha and klola.
Nothing.
That's what he's saying. Translate the words. God says, see that I am giving you blessing and curse. Now, the beginning of last week's parsha, by the way, began Vahoya Ekef Tishmun. Listening. Last parsha, Vahoya Ekef Tishmun will be when you hear the mitzvahs of God. Here Hashem says, I want you to see that I'm giving you today. So there's a lot of questions on this pasuk. First of all, I just want to throw out a bunch of questions and we'll start discussing. I don't know if I will get. Re'ei is singular. Okay? Re'ei, re'u is plural. Re'ei is singular. Anechi neisen lefneichem is plural. If it says re'ei, it should say lefanecha. If it says lefneichem, it should say re'u, plural, right? So why is the Torah being? Oh, this is all the Kalyokar, Chaim, Ramban. Everybody asks this question, okay? Why does the Torah begin singular and finish off plural? Either start singular and end singular, or start plural and end plural. Re'ei is singular, lefneichem is plural. Another thing, what does it mean? God give curses? The pasuk says, look, I'm giving you today bracha klala. How could a curse be from God? How could bad come from God? To rephrase the question, which is the old, the age old, the world old philosophical question. Does bad come from God or does bad not come from God? And there's a fundamental difference, by the way, between Judaism and a lot of other religions, the Christianity and all that, who don't believe that evil comes from God. They say there's God, there's Satan, good comes from God, bad comes from Satan, and that's two separate worlds. Here the Torah says clearly, Anechi neisen ufnecha miyem bracho klalo. Thirdly, why did the Torah say Re'ei? Last time it says about Tishmu'un. V'hoyem shemaya tishma. Tishmu. Beginning of Ekev says V'hoyem Ekev Tishmu'un. And all of a sudden Re'iya. What is the difference between hearing and seeing? That the Torah, you know. Okay, so what does this mean? The difference between listening and hearing. Hearing does not mean literally hear. It means understanding. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad does not, yet. Yeah, English is translated, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But Shema Yisrael means you should understand that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what it means. Shema means I understand. Or there's a pasuk in the Nevi'im that says, Daber ki shemei avdecha. Speak because your servant is listening. It doesn't mean listening. It means I understand. Speak, I understand. Okay? Shmia in Torah does not only mean hearing, it means understanding. And there's many psukim in throughout Torah that says Shema and the definition of understanding. Something I understand is not one with me. What I see is one with me. What does that mean? If I understand something, yeah, you can prove to me that I don't.
Change.
You can start asking me questions, and you can show that I don't begin to understand what I'm talking about. It's possible. But if I see this cup on the table, I see it. You can prove to me with a million proofs that the cup is not there, I'm not going to buy it. And as far as I'm concerned, the cup is there because I saw it. In English, there's also expression, when somebody explains something to you in English, you also say, oh, I see. Oh, I see. What do you mean, oh, I see? You don't see, you hear. In other words, what you basically see, even though we don't know what we're saying, you're saying that it is so understood by me as if I see it. And that's why we mentioned this halach in the past. There's a din in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch brings down, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. In capital punishments, okay, a witness cannot be the judge of the case. In other words, if a judge was walking in the street and he saw a murder take place, and he's a witness to testify, he cannot sit as a judge on the case. So the question is, why not? What better judge is there than the guy that saw it? Isn't that the best possible thing that the judge himself saw it? Why does he have to listen to witnesses? The answer is because a judge needs to be. This is what the Paskim write in Halacha and the commentaries of the Gemara. Why can an aid not become a dayan? Because a dayan has to be impartial. The Torah says, "V'shafto eida, v'itzilo eida." They have to be able to find merit, and they have to be able to find fault. They need to be impartial. Once you saw something, you can never be impartial anymore. There'll be a million proofs that it's not true. You're never going to change your mind. If I hear it and understand it from witnesses, I could still be impartial. Why? Because two witnesses will say something else. So that questions the whole thing. What?
That was the story of King Saul with the baby,
right?
You have to be impartial. Like, whose baby was it? Like,
no, he was ruling. He didn't.
But he was impartial.
He wasn't a witness.
No, he was the judge.
He was a judge and he was impartial. But he made them themselves make their own ruling.
His impartiality.
A judge has to be impartial. Right. Now, there is understanding God, and there's seeing God. The lower level is Ekev Tishmu'un. Okay? Last week's parsha. Understanding God. And it's an interesting thing. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. Correct? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, Re'ei Hashem Neisim Lefneichem Ayim Brachu Klolo. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Anechi? It's not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not I giving you Brachu Klolo. It's Hashem giving you Brachu Klolo. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, Re'ei Hashem Neisim Lefneichem Ayim Brachu Klolo. Right? Like he said, El Mitzvah Hashem Alekechem. Over there, it's a mitzvah. Hashem lokechem. Because the level of being able to see God, to become one with God, comes from the level of anechi, which is not the name of God, but the essence of God. You have. In the Aser Sedibris, we learned this many times. Every time you make a bracha, really, Aser Sedibris is first person, the bracha is second person. Okay? You have in the Aser Sedibris, Anechi, Hashem, Elokecha. There's three levels. There's a level of Anechi. As the Gemara says, the Le Yisram is Le Bishum Eis, Vele Bishum Keitz. That means, the level of Anechi is nameless, I means my essence. My name is the way you call me. I associate with you. There's three levels. Very late. Probably should do the whole thing properly next week. But when Moshe Rabbeinu met God at the burning bush, learned this already. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, "What's your name?" Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu in the Chumash says, "Eka Asher Eka." But the truth is, in the Medrash it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, "What's your name?" He said, "My name? It depends what I'm doing. When I do kindness, I'm called Kel. When I do punishment, I'm called Elokim. When I do mercy, I'm called Yudke Vavke. When I fight wars, I'm called Tzvokis. When I do this, I'm called Shindalad Yud." So he says, "My name? My name is based on what I'm doing." Okay? What does this mean? In a nutshell, we're going to go through the whole thing because we can't leave in the middle like this. A name, I myself don't need a name. The only reason I have a name is to associate with you. If there's a group of people and you want to call me, you want to get my attention, you have to say my name. Otherwise, you can say, "Hey, I mean, who are you calling?" I myself don't need that name, though. If you want to speak Lashon Hara, let's get realistic. You want to speak Lashon Hara about a person. You need a name. Can you imagine? Lashon Hara. Okay, let's have a Lashon Hara session. You know what somebody did? It's not interesting. It's not boring. So you tell somebody a name, then you're talking about somebody. So what is a name? The way you associate with somebody else. You yourself don't need a name. A nechi represents God, the way God is not dealing with the world. The way God is by himself. Hashem deals, okay, to be continued, Amit Hashem.